Anyway, Psalm 55. We kind of opened with that. If I can get there. My pulpit's too big, too small, I mean. But in 55, verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we actually see that Daniel took the psalmist's advice, and he made it a habit. It was a habit of his, and it was a wonderful habit. It's a good habit to get into, amen? There are some bad habits, and there's some good habits. Reading and meditating in the Word of God, spending time with God on a regular basis throughout the day, that's a good habit to get into. It's a bad habit to neglect Him, to neglect prayer and neglect a lot of these things. But Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, now I don't believe for 1 minute, given Daniel's nature, as you look back in Daniel chapter 1, when he actually went and he sought counsel of Melzar, who was head of the magicians there, or the prophets and so on. He didn't demand, but he reasoned with him. And that seemed to be the nature of Daniel. He was a very diplomatic individual who simply laid the case out there and made strong reason. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. It says we come to the king with strong reason. And Daniel did just that. So I don't believe that he was being arrogant in verse 10 here in chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did what? 4 times. Now that simply means that he was in the habit of doing this, and the edict wasn't going to change that habit. It was far more important for him to meet with God than to obey the king in this. Now there's sometimes things that government's going to ask us that intrude upon our responsibilities as believers to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? In fact, Peter, when they had been commanded by the Pharisees who had beaten them and whipped them and commanded them not to speak of this name of Jesus Christ any longer, they simply looked at him and said, whether we ought to obey man or not, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And they moved forward. Now, they weren't being arrogant. They were just simply saying that God's called us, and God's calling is a higher calling than your prohibition, prohibiting us from doing these kind of things there. So I don't believe Daniel was arrogant. I believe he was just in the habit of doing it. It was such a habit that it was really important for him to do this. If you're in the kind of position that he was in of responsibility, when you realize that you are a foreigner in a foreign land to yourself, serving a heathen king, and you know that your enemies are all about you, you certainly need to meet with God, don't you? And so he did. He met with God at least 3 times a day. He may have prayed through many times, but there was 3 specific times that he set aside when he knew that he would purposefully get alone with God. So far, we have looked at 4 areas of prayer, the characteristics of acceptable prayer, obstacles to prayer, answers to prayer, and when should we pray. And so this week, the question is, for what should we pray? A lot of times believers say, well, I don't even know what to pray for, preacher. Or what are some of the things I should include in my prayer life? Well, we hopefully will address some of those here tonight. And so in light of James chapter 4, if we can just turn there very quickly. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I believe it shows that there's a tremendous amount of confusion, not only just about ill-informed believers, but sometimes even as believers, we're not sure. Have you ever found yourself not knowing how to pray for someone? Or how to pray for a particular set of circumstances that you yourself may have found yourself in? Well, he makes a point here. James makes a point here. He's addressing a problem in the early church, and he said, from whence come wars and fightings in chapter 4 and verse 1? Fightings among you. Come they not hence of your lust that war in your members? So he's making a point here that check your prayer life and make sure that your prayer life is not based on lust. Lord, I need more money so I can buy more things. Kind of a catch-all little thing. I'd love to have this promotion, because if I had this promotion, then I could buy a better house, get a better car, could have this, that, the other thing along the line there. And at the same time, you know down deep, that means I'm going to have to miss more church. I'm not going to have the same kind of quality time I used to have with my family and devotions and stuff like that. That promotion's not worth it. It really simply is not worth it. But he goes on and he says in verse 2, he says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. And that's important. you're asking for the wrong reasons, or you have the wrong motivation in your prayer life. So that's one of the most important things that we have in our prayer life, is to have the right motivation. Amen? But he goes on, he says, verse 3, and you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So some of your ideas that we need to or should be praying for, about what might they be? What might some of the ideas that you have? You know, maybe you've captured your prayer life, and you say, okay, there's certain times in the day I do pray. Maybe like, I know that my wife would say that when the kids are really small, when they went in for a nap, she'd make sure she had that time set aside. And of course, when they're really small, it was first thing in the morning. She'd have some prayer time when they went in for their morning naps, and then she could have some more time in the afternoon for things of that nature there. So what might you, real quick here, just a couple of ideas that you might use in your own personal life that helps you to have a not just an adequate, but a good, strong prayer life with the Lord. How many get up early in the morning? And first thing in the morning, before your day gets on, you have some time alone with God. You have to get up in the morning, really. If you have kids, you do. And I've shared oftentimes, my mom would be up sometimes 4:30 in the morning with 9 kids and a husband. That's pretty early in the morning to get up. But she knew that with that many kids, of which 5 of us were boys and 4 of them were girls. But I think she had more problem with the girls about who wore whose and who wore what and one thing or another when it came down to it. The guy, we could have cared less, you know, when it came right out to here. They could have 2 different socks on and then maybe all the belt loops missed that. We didn't really, you know, I mean, guys didn't really care initially. So we weren't quite that much problem. But we could be a handful when it came to wrestling and taunting our sisters and so on there. So my mom knew that she really needed to have that really strong time in the morning. And then before we'd head out for school in the morning, she'd try to get us together and maybe just have a little time of prayer and what you're praying for. And Peg would do the same thing, ask the kids what kind of test you got today and so on. And so real quick, what might some of your alls? Yeah. Someone else, real quick. If you don't run into those, you don't have to. But Lorraine. Some of the habits that you have developed to keep a consistent prayer life. Well, we're going to get into some here real quick here, but it would help us to stay focused. We have some ideas. And help us to stay on point if we developed a prayer strategy. We strategize about a lot of things. We you only have so much income coming in. And so you have to strategize about how you're going to use your finances for that particular week. You know what, bills and so on. And so the question this evening is, for what should we be praying? Well, the Bible clearly indicates the Lord's desire for you and I to speak to Him is about self and family. Now, our prayer life ought not to be preoccupied with ourselves. Lord, I got to have this. I got to have this. Lord, I want these kind of shoes. I want this purse. I want this kind of a suit, or I want this, or, you know. We're talking about praying for personal growth in becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an honorable prayer request. It's an important prayer. Lord, I want to become like you. Lord, I want to become more like you in my responses. Lord, I want to be able to have your thoughts become my thoughts and your ways become my ways. And Lord, so make me mindful as I walk throughout this day. You know, that's an honorable prayer, something we could spend a lot of time saying, Lord, I failed you yesterday. I'm sorry. This is what I did, what I should not have done. Lord, help me to be mindful before those things come along, before I say what I ought not to say, or before I react in a way I ought not to react. And so, Lord, I want to be like you. And let him know. I mean, what's the word? Is the best form of flattery? What is the word I'm looking for tonight? I'm really drawing a blank here. Imitation or conformity could be the best form of flattery, because I wouldn't want to imitate the Lord. I want to become like the Lord. That's not an imitation. I want to be genuine. I want to be real along the way. But conformity, I want my life to conform to His. And that is indeed young people want to become like this athlete or that athlete, or they want to become like this person or that person. And most of the time it's because they're important people or popular people and maybe making a lot of money. And so they're drawn to that. Listen, do we tell the Lord, Lord, I want to become like you. Lord, that is the Holy Spirit's ministry and goal. Isn't that right? According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, is that God's goal and God's purpose is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, that image of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we're going to look like him. It means we conform to his image. Everything about him, about his demeanor, about his character, about his walk, his thinking, his responses, and all of that comes into play. So pray for personal growth and becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can mark down, if you want to, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12, and look them up later because we're going to run out of time. And I did want to get to at least the last part if I don't think I'm going to do that. But also for our daily physical needs, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4, but also Matthew 6, 31 through 33, where literally we spend a lot of time telling the Lord what we need. He knows what we need, but if we were to seek his kingdom first, then God said, all these things will be added unto you. All that's necessary to equip us in our lives to pursue the kingdom of God and the activities commensurate with it. God's going to see to it that we have those needs. So some of the things we should be praying for, we should be praying daily for wisdom. Listen, you're going to be called to make a lot of decisions throughout the day. You need some wisdom along, especially if you're in a position of leadership. Knowledge. Boy, don't we need knowledge? We need godly knowledge. We need knowledge beyond ourselves. We need understanding as well. Boldness. We need boldness to live for the Lord. We should be praying for courage to be able to stand up and be counted in the family of God and to count it a privilege to be able to stand up and to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ as well as to give it out. We need loving power to be able to love. It's easy to love the ones who love us back. It's a little harder to love those who scoff and scorn and mock and ridicule us along the way. But, you know, we need that. We need that loving power, don't we? The ability to love even those whom we may not find easy to love. But also the scriptures further encourage us to pray for our church. We could spend a lot of time praying about church, couldn't we? Not necessarily could help the preacher to keep his sermon short and, whatever it is. How about a oneness in spirit, that the church might have a oneness in spirit? You know, it's hard to have aught against those whom you are praying for out of a burden and a care for them. It really is. The best way to deal with your enemies is to pray for them. And next thing you know, all of a sudden they stop becoming your enemies. And they become a concern for you, a burden for you. Not in a bad sense, but a burden for their soul to be saved. What a difference. So John chapter 13 and verse 35, or John chapter 17, the prayer chapter where the Lord's praying for us. If he's praying for us, then he wants to pray for those to whom we go to and present the gospel and also receive him as their Lord and Savior. We should be praying for spiritual growth of each member. Now, we're not that big a church where you can't turn around and say, I don't really know anybody. Listen, as small as we are, if there's somebody in this church you don't know, then you go see them Sunday morning or tonight if they're here and say, you know what? I'm Jim Gamer, and I'm pleased to meet you here tonight. And I know you've been here for several times here. And what's your name? And write it down on your hand. Okay. So, and don't wash it until Sunday when you come back. And oh yeah, I know who you are. But you know, it's important, especially when visitors come in here along the way. But you know, for every one of men here for spirit, listen, there's moms and dads in here. I've raised my children. Now I could have an attitude that simply says, well, I've raised my kids, I'm not doing any more nursery work. Well, I have to be here anyway in the pulpit, so I don't do any nursery work necessarily. But you know, I've heard that so many times. Listen, how about praying for those who have children? Just because you've raised your children have gone out in the world, doesn't mean that you have to stop praying for other parents and the ability to raise their children. I mean, they need a lot of prayer. You needed a lot of prayer when you were raising your children. And some prayed for you, so we need to pray for a spiritual growth of each member in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. If the Apostle Paul understood the need and the necessity, then it must be important for each of us to pray one for another. And it really is important. Who else is going to pray for you? We have the Lord as our prayer partner. He's praying for us. But who's praying? Well, my wife's praying for me. Well, my husband's praying for me. And maybe the kids are praying for me. But wouldn't you like to have more people praying for you? Yeah, it would be nice. It would be wonderful. And for the free course of the message. Course meaning a rapid propagation. an absorption of the message and an application of the message to our personal lives, and being able to maybe via the internet or by the DVDs that we send out to the public access station for people to be able to grasp a hold of the message, the Word of God, and to see their need to be saved if they're unsaved and happen to be listening, or if they're saved but they've been out of church for a while, to rededicate their lives right there in their living room. Wouldn't it be great to run across someone somewhere down the line and say, "Oh, you're from that church, and yeah, we were watching that the other day on television. God spoke to our heart, and we got on our face before the Lord there, and we rededicated our lives." And you know that you've been praying for that broadcast, you've been praying for the internet access that we have there, and so you've had a part in that person's turnaround. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, to have free course, a strong exertion or effort to get the gospel out, that we'll have that ability. But we also need to be praying for our nation. Listen, our nation needs more prayer than it's ever needed in its history. We probably need to pray for America more today than they did back in the days of the American Revolution. The national state of our nation's moral posture is abominable. Listen, as a nation, do you think that our founding fathers ever could have imagined a day when we would be actually murdering millions of babies every year? Do you really think that our founding fathers ever could have imagined that? Folks, I couldn't have imagined it. I never would have thought we'd have seen the day where same-sex marriage has actually become a national agenda. America is in a moral crisis, where we have people in positions of leadership who have no qualms looking in the eyeball and lying to your face. They have no problem with it. No problem whatsoever. So we're commanded in Psalms 33 and verse 12. Also in Proverbs 14 and verse 34. We're commanded to pray for our nations and for our leaders. For those in leadership, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we had to pray for them. We had to pray for the oppressed, Proverbs 21, 13, and there are a lot of people who are oppressed. You may be one of them tonight, I don't know. With taxation, but we're talking about even beyond that, people who are really in poverty. We're to pray for the state or the condition of the unsaved. We had to pray for the sick, James chapter 5. We're to pray for those laboring for the Lord. And I got the letter in here from the Porches. And I read missionary letters here. And I wonder how many really take to heart. He says, praises, new contacts, growth of youngest believers, baptism candidates, and utility improvement, and good health. That's what their praises are all about. He goes on, prayer requests, gospel studies, discipleship studies, broadcast on eschatology, continued growth in the church, resource center development. Do we actually pray for all these different things, the souls that are being saved? Some that said that souls are on the verge of being saved, and they're calling out to all of the supporting churches to join them, to pray them over the threshold into the family of God. They're praying for raising up in their Bible institutes over there, men to go back into their villages and their towns to be able to raise churches. And even a church our size, I would venture to say that probably better than 85% go home and never once mention a missionary throughout the week, let alone pray for them. And we'll stand before God and we'll give an account so we can pray those laboring for the Lord. The needs are many and the urgency can't be understated or underestimated as the days grow darker and the time is shorter before the Lord comes. So we need to develop a prayer strategy. We know that from the very beginning, God designed and desired for us to meet with Him. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we recognize that the Lord came to the garden in the evening and He met with Adam and with Eve to talk. And we know the effect that sin had on this experience. But our ability to communicate to God remains as we have seen in Enoch. The Bible says that after Methuselah was born, that Enoch walked with God. And he was no more. Now that walk with God wasn't just simply holding hands, walking down the road. He walked with God. He talked with God. He communicated with God. He sought God on a regular, continual basis in his life. We also know that Daniel was in the habit of setting three purposeful times a day in which he would meet with God. And I do want us to turn to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5. We already read 10 in the opening. But Daniel chapter 6 and verse 5. Then said these men, this ought to be said of every one of us. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Think of the impact of that verse. If we're going to find fault with this guy, it is going to be somewhere in his walk with his God. In how he talks and walks and worships and fellowships with his God. And so they came up with an edict that says if anybody asks any petition of the king for the next 30 days, then he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel went and did what he had always done. Because he said, circumstances do not change my need to be before the Lord on a continual basis. Folks, this ought to be part of your prayer. As he said here, Lord, if the world's going to find fault with me, let it be in the purity of my walk with you. Now, I'm not talking about falling or being a reproach. I'm talking about the fact is that there's nothing that they can really find in a negative sense. All they could find in Daniel was a positive relationship with the Lord. That's all they could find. Is that all they can find in us? Oh, yeah, you just kind of blew your cork the other day, didn't you? You kind of blew your top and screamed and yelled and rant and raved. Yeah, you're a Christian, you are. You know, that's not good for us. So, times are not set or fixed, though some establish set patterns, so as not to overlook the importance of prayer or overschedule our time. Listen, if we know that we've got certain times where we're going to meet with God, you put a fence around that time. You can schedule anything you need to schedule in between those times, but you don't schedule anything during those times. I mean, if you're going to die, then that's too bad. You know, it's don't worry about it. You're going to be with the Lord. You're going to be talking with him anyway, personally. But the idea is simply there are choices that we have. There are times when we can make certain choices. But if we're not careful, we begin to let our schedules become so cluttered that all of a sudden, before you know it, we haven't had any time with God whatsoever for that day or for that week. And so you can look at the aforementioned list that we looked at before and divide them thusly. A weekly schedule might look something like this very quickly. Monday would be family day. That's the day when I'm going to pray for my family, immediate and extended family. I'm going to pray for my sons, my daughters, my husband, my wife. I can do that on my way to work. If we didn't have that time in the morning, first thing in the morning, have a cup of coffee and have our devotional time. The wife and I, we had some time to pray before the kids got up and before we went out about our business here. Or when the kids get up there, we have family devotions before everybody kind of goes their separate way. But throughout the day, you can be praying for your family. At lunchtime, you can say, Lord, I have no idea what the kids are doing in school today or how well they're doing today. But Lord, if they're having a hard day, Lord, help them to focus and so on. You can be praying for them to have good days and make sure they make the right kind of friends. You ought to be praying now for their future. For the future husbands or for the future wives. Peggy and I certainly did. We prayed when our kids were pretty young. Said, Lord, we have no idea who we're going to bring in their lives, but Lord, make sure it's a godly man or make sure it's a godly woman. Pray for physical and spiritual needs of the family members. Tuesday, church day, for leadership and staff, for members here and abroad. For missionaries, and if you knew what was going on in some of these letters, you'd have a lot to pray for. Brother Maxime with his cancer, and Dr. Pauly having had some health issues, and the man's like an unstoppable bulldozer. In spite of the fact that he's had several strokes along the way there, he's still going like a bulldozer, still teaching. He was up there in River Delu, and he was up there teaching several nights along with his wife Marguerite, who has to actually have two knee replacement surgeries. They just don't stop. So, you know, we have to pray for these people who are on the front line. Wednesday is community. Pray for your community leaders, your neighbors, your kids' friends, and their families. Maybe your sons and daughters have shared the gospel and the neighbors haven't come to know Christ yet. Then you should be praying for them too. Say, little Bobby is playing with Billy this today out there. Lord, help Tommy to make some good choices and help Billy make some good choices. Don't get themselves in any trouble out that way, and to be a good testimony and to be a good witness and to be praying that way. Friends and their families. You have neighbors and friends and family that are unsaved and neighbors. Thursday, you can be praying for our nation. Listen, our president needs a lot of prayer. Trust me, our legislators need a whole bunch of prayer. And a bunch of those liberal nutcases down here, they need extreme amounts of prayer. But boy, wouldn't it be different if these were all men and women who were godly men and women in those high places, not to legislate religion, but be able to make good, godly decisions about things in general? I mean, there's just so much they don't, they're clueless about. Their idea is to take a Band-Aid and put it on a major cut of surgery and then just throw money at it. Our educational problem really isn't really about more money. Our educational problem is about being able to put God back at the foundation, if you will. All the money in the world is not going to help someone get educated if it all gets blown away on stupid stuff. And a lot of times it does. And then, you know, it really handicaps and hinders good teachers that are in those school systems who would like to be able to teach, but, you know, it seems like all the money goes into liberal resources along the way. Friday, pray for the world, missions outreach. Get a couple of missionary letters and make that a family project to have someone say, listen, the pastor just read some letters, go up there and get that all written down there, and we're going to add that to our prayer list there. But we have letters asking us to pray with our missionaries for souls to be saved, and some that, as I said, are so close. Pray for spiritual growth of the converts, and they're so excited about. Listen, we're sending them money to help support them to be over there. Let's not just send money and feel like we've done our job. Saturday's tour day, man. We can't do anything on that day, preacher. Listen, Sunday services are coming up, amen. How many of you prayed for the preacher on Sunday morning? Because if it's a bad sermon on Sunday morning from your perspective, then it's probably because you didn't pray for me. How's that? Don't shoot the messenger. wholesome corn with the people. Listen, really, I need your prayer. Throughout the week, not just only on Saturday. You just need, you know, but the idea of saying, the Lord, we've had a rough week here. You know, could you give the pastor something that would be a real encouragement to us on Sunday morning, Lord, so that we feel like we've gotten up and gotten out of bed and we've gone to church and we've really been fed and nurtured, and boy, we just feel so good. But if you're not praying for me, the Lord's going to assume you don't really care about your problem. So why should He? And so He's going to listen to someone else's. So I'm going to deal with someone else's problem. I may not know what it is, but you know how that goes. But anyway, you get the point. There, pray for services, souls to be saved. For God's presence and God's power. Pray for our church finances, for our outreach opportunities. Pray for your Sunday school teachers that are teaching your children. For a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the pastor and for the message. There's so much on Saturday we can pray for. I believe we could flip this church around and upside down and inside out in this community if we just get busy and pray for the church, the ministry, the pastor, and the staff, as well as church members. And still, if you choose to meet with the Lord several times a day, you can meet morning, noon, and you can meet at night, rather. Morning for family, for opportunities to be a testimony, to be used of the Lord at work, in the community, pray for your home, pray for the job that you have. At noontime, you go out there and take a break somewhere for those who work, those who you work with, and those you have had opportunity to talk to or counsel on spiritual or in family areas, you could be praying for them. Nighttime, thanking God for your day, rejoicing in His use of you, His presence, His wisdom, and His guidance. Thank Him for all these things. Give Him praise. So anyway, you get the point. It's important for us to be praying. Amen. Always to be praying. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Earnestly in James chapter 5 and verse 7, vigilantly in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, and pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So these are some things that we need to know about prayer. I guarantee you, you've got a lot to be praying about. So many times, what am I supposed to be praying about? I'll give you the list. Now, it's up to you to become a part of how God works in this ministry and through your life and through your home. It needs to be centralized on the person of Christ, bathed, drenched, soaked in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together, just gathered once again around your word. Again, we thank you for the patience of the folk tonight. Lord, I know it's the middle of the week and it's been a long, long day and probably a long couple of days, but Father, it's so important that we go home tonight with answers, Lord, to perhaps maybe why our Christian life seems to be a little flat, or maybe why the family's a little flat, or maybe why the ministry itself might seem a little flat. But Father, if we just get on our knees and our faces before your throne of grace and pray, Lord, you'll answer. And you'll answer in wonderful and marvelous ways. And Lord, we're also aware the devil's going to do everything he can to try to distract us and try to derail us. But Father, if we just hang in there, and Lord, if we will be resolute and immovable, Lord, we can see and experience great things here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so, Father, we just pray now that you guide and direct, meet all these needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.